Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Oh, God is good. God is good. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, I was going to go a certain direction today, but I think I'll go a different direction. If you have your Bibles, just go to Colossians. We touched on this a few weeks ago. And like I had mentioned before, I'm going to read out of the Passion Translation. I don't think I've mentioned this before. I want to give you just a little explanation as to why in this series on authentic community that I have chose to use the Passion Translation. And that is because how many know that we need a new thought? We need to have a new thought. We say that Holy Spirit's unlimited. We say that He knows all things, and we say that, those kinds of things. But yet, we always seem to stick with the same thought process, especially if you've been around the New Testament for any length of time, or you've been around Christianity for any length of time. I could pretty much name a verse, and you could go back in your spiritual Rolodex, and you would re-look up and recall to your mind, your memory, what you ever heard taught on that verse. You can't do that with the Passion Translation, can you? Because there's nothing been taught on it. That's the reason why I've chosen to use it for this series. Because at some point we have to, even if we've used the same translation for years and years and years and years, at some point we have to come to the place where every time you open up that Bible, you say, Holy Spirit, I know what I've heard in the past, but that's all TV dinners at this point. I want something fresh. Give me a new thought. Show me something else that you know. Unfold another avenue of Father that I haven't seen before. So I've chose to use the Passion Translation in this series because not only does the author of the Passion Translation bring things out that are in not just the Greek translation, but also the Aramaic, which was the language of the day. Right? And so when we tap into those things, we get a better idea of what the Spirit of God is trying to get over to us. And how many know that the Spirit of God can give you revelation from this any translation? Yeah. So He can give you revelation from this translation. I know sometimes when I'm talking and I put the verses on the screen behind me that you're looking in your Bible and saying, well, it doesn't really match what I got in my Bible, but pay attention to what's on the screen. Because the Spirit of God wants to show you some things along those lines. Maybe it's a thought you haven't ever had before. Maybe He wants to unhitch you from the TV dinners of the past and give you something new. Amen. So we're in Colossians. We're still on the subject of authentic community. We'll just kind of see which way we go here. In Colossians, in this letter that Paul wrote, probably Epaphras was the pastor of this church. He's mentioned a number of times in this letter. But in this letter, Paul deals with really what I consider to be the crux issue, the focal point, so to speak, of what this thing, why Jesus did what he did. Why was he resurrected from the dead? Why is he seated in heavenly places? Why is he seated next to Father? Why is there, as Paul wrote to Timothy in one of his letters, why is there a man, Christ Jesus, next to the Father? Ephesians and Colossians are really, you could say they're sister books. They deal a lot with the same content. But Colossians really deals with, in my humble opinion, what the crux of why Jesus did what he did. And, you know, I don't promote movies. I'm not promoting a movie now, but I'll just mention I went to see a movie yesterday. And this particular movie was such an amazing showcase of what is in the mind of natural man and the way they see things and what's in their heart. And you can almost see the shadow of what they used to know before they unhitched from the Creator. I mean, know in every human being there is a remnant in them that knows that they were supposed to be connected to something. And it was supposed to be a certain way. It was supposed to function a certain way. It was supposed to facilitate certain things. Well, those things never left human beings. They've just disconnected. The Word of God says that when you separate away from Father, you begin to walk in the shadow of your own mind, the shadow of your own thinking. It's mentioned at least two or three times, probably at least twice in this letter, not to mention it's mentioned over in the book of Hebrews in chapter 10 and also in chapter 8, where it talks about the fact that the things that are on the earth, they can become a shadow of, a copy of things that are in heaven. But they're not the very image of those things. So when it comes to natural human beings, it's important for us, I'm kind of giving you a scenes of coming attractions for next week, it's important for us to understand how natural man thinks in our society and to recognize the root of ways that they think and recognize that those are shadows of an image that is in heaven, that when you're connected with him, he wants to bring you into the fullness of seeing that image, not just walking in a shadow. I mean, you know, if you look at your shadow, all you see is the outline of something. You don't see the detail that's in it, do you? So it is with natural men, that the farther that you get away from God, the more you're simply walking in the outer image or the shadow of something and not the very image of the thing he intended for you to be walking and experiencing. Jesus is the fullness. He is the very image of the Father. And in this letter we call Colossians, there's literally, if you could say this, there's literally nine prayers that Paul has mentioned by the Spirit of God that he prays over that church of Colossae. Now, we're not going to get into every one of them. But what I want you to notice is, if you'll notice in these prayers, that there is a progression. It starts with you. It starts with you recognizing, as the new man, as the new woman, recognizing what's in here. Recognizing that this is the system from which you live from. not from your eyes, not from your ears, not from your emotions. There's a system. It's called out from your spirit, because you are a spirit. You don't have one. You are one. When your body turns to dust, you don't cease to exist. So the essential thing that we have to understand as the new man and the new woman is that the real you is your you as your spirit. And Colossians literally deals with learning how to recognize, as the Passion Translation says, learning how to recognize the treasure that has been dropped into you and learning how to pull things out from that treasure on a spontaneous basis, living life. And the fact that really what natural man does is they, because they're separated from that connection, they literally are just simply living in a shadow of their own mind, their own thoughts, and it's not the very image of the thing they were created and designed to be. You know, I've used this terminology before. You know, years ago, before technology really has taken off, we had a little thing called a Palm Pilot. I used to use one of those in business. I had to write everything on it. We've almost come back around to that, but now it's got a little more features to it. But back when those came out, you were pretty much stuck with what you had on the unit. You could take notes on it, that kind of stuff, but there are certain things were loaded on that Palm Pilot, and that's what you had. Well, that's kind of the way natural man lives. They live as, they're not connected, they just live from what's basically been loaded into them. And that's, how many have heard this term, my truth versus your truth? Their truth is what was, you know, growing up, from the minute you get put into the planet, and from the minute, somewhere along the way, that separation occurs, and you literally make a choice to, if I could use it this way, undock from the connection of the Spirit of God that you were born into. You begin to fortify, because of that deficiency, you begin to fortify thought processes in your mind to make up for lack of that connection. So by the time you're an adult, or close to it, you basically have formulated how life is. So the letter that Paul wrote through the Spirit of God to the Colossian church is literally dealing with learning about that new connection. Learning about when you came over into the kingdom of life and the Spirit of God came and made residence in you, we literally function from a whole different operating system than we had before. And I'll submit this to you. You'll find this in this letter, that Paul is literally recommending and admonishing to them that learn how to live this new connection out in public. In the Philippian church, in that letter, he said it like this. He said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Or literally, work what's on the inside to the outside. The Mere translation, let me just bring that out here real quick. The Mere translation says it like this. And I love the way this is worded because of what we've talked to you about, what faith actually is. Consider this amazing outcome of what our faith sees and celebrates. Did you know your faith sees and celebrates things? You know why? Because your faith is not yours. It came from Him. Faith and revelation are tied together. What faith is used for, what the Spirit of God uses faith for, is to communicate to you. In the letter of Colossians, the Spirit of God says that Jesus created all things, the seen and the unseen. And through Him, Father united the seen and the unseen back together again. There is no division between the two. So the job of faith is, it's not something that you muster up. It's not something that you try to get enough of. We brought this to your attention a number of weeks ago. If you remember back before you came into the kingdom of life, you didn't wake up that day with the mindset, I'm going to go and see if I can get enough faith so I can come to know Jesus. That's just not even a thought process that you go through. So if that's not the process you go through, Paul says, as you've come into Christ, so walk in Him in the same way. Then why is it that as the new creation man or woman, you're trying to get enough faith for this, that, or the other when you didn't do that to get into the kingdom in the first place? It came from Him because of revelation from the Spirit of God. The moment the eyes of your understanding, that veil was pulled back and you saw beyond the seen into the unseen, and you saw that Jesus really was who He says He was, it so struck you that you said it out of your mouth, Jesus, You are Lord. You didn't do that. That came from Him. He's simply saying that same transaction that brought you over into the kingdom of life is the same transaction that He wants you to learn to live by or live out of your spirit. It's a treasure chest that's in there. It's a treasure that's in you. Your faith, the faith that comes up when you're spending time with Him in His Word, and let's say you're believing for certain things and you want certain things to come to pass in your life, you have an impression on the inside of you, if you want to say it that way, that you have, or you have certain desires in your life that you want to see come to pass. So you spend some time with the Lord, you spend some time in His Word, and you're reading along, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God draws your attention to a particular verse, and it's like He shined a flashlight on it, and you start seeing something. You mean wear that? Oh, that's pretty nice. Looks like a prayer shawl. I'm just asking. Anyway, sorry. Happy Mother's Day, honey. We have two cars. It's probably a good thing. I'm just kidding. You're spending some time with the Spirit of God, and He shines a flashlight on the Word. And so you go back and you reread the verse, and you see something in that verse that you hadn't seen before. What just happened? The Spirit of God is trying to show you revelation of something. And when you see it, the faith that is of heaven flows tandem with that revelation, and you take ownership of what you see. Father uses that faith to communicate to you what belongs to you. So I love the way this passion, this mere translation, M-I-R-R-O-R, the mere translation translates Philippians 2:12. Instead of work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, or work what's on the inside to the outside, it says, consider this amazing outcome of what our faith sees and celebrates. I strongly urge you, my darling friends, to continue to have your ears tuned to that which inspires your conduct to give full expression to the detail of your own salvation. Go into that treasure chest that's in Colossians. Learn how to live out from that. Learn how to live in the moment out from the treasure chest He put in you, and learn how to recognize what He's doing in any given moment, or what He's trying to hand you to take hold of any given moment. Your faith is trying to show you things. It wants to show you things that it sees. It wants to show you. Since Jesus is the creator of all things unseen, He uses faith to communicate to you. It is the evidence of things that are not seen. So He's trying to get something over to you. See salvation in its earth-shattering, awesome, and ultimate conclusion. How awesome is it to realize that you as a human being are no longer limited to what your emotions tell you, what your physical ears are hearing, what your physical eyes are seeing? What would happen if in our society, in our culture, what would happen if we as the new creation man or woman, what would happen if we would learn to become proficient in living out of that treasure chest that's in your spirit and demonstrating that everywhere you go? I can tell you what happened. No one else would be framing the conversation. No one would be framing the conversation, because what you just did would be the conversation. Nothing else would matter. How did you know that? Who told you that I had fill in the blank? Notice this, that when we're talking about authentic community, back over in Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, it says, your new creation life is continually, notice ladies, the little flowers for Mother's Day. I'm trying to facilitate you guys, you know. It's kind of a cool picture anyway. Your new creation life is continually being renewed into the likeness of the one who created you. Your new creation life is continually being renewed into the likeness of the one who created you. So if you want to continually make advancements in these areas, just stay connected with him. You say, well, how do I do that? You spend so much time with him that he's more real to you than the natural circumstances that are surrounding you every day of your life. When pressure begins to squeeze you, you don't go to the emotions of your mind, you go into your spirit and you begin to rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. See, if we can just learn that, folks, it's not hard. Peter said, in fact, let's just go there real quick. Peter said, this is amazing. Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 in the Passion Translation. Again, it says, everything we could ever need. Everybody say ever. That means there's not anything that could come up in your lifetime, in your life, that isn't included in this ever. Everything we could ever need. Now it says for life and complete devotion to God, but I took the word life out because we kind of trip on that and then we forget the rest of the verse. But literally what he's saying here, everything we could ever need for complete devotion to God has, what's the next word? Can you guys see this screen or am I just looking at? Oh, all right. Everything we could ever need for complete devotion to God has what? Already been given to you. It's already deposited inside of you. If you've declared, if you have had the revelation that Jesus Christ is truly who he says he is and he is Lord. At the right hand of Father is a man, Christ Jesus. He literally scaled that mountain, tied off, threw you the rope and said, come up here where I am. It's awesome. This verse is literally telling you that there is nothing that when it comes to your complete devotion to him. You ever talk to somebody that is a Christian or a new creation, man or woman, and they always use words like, well, I'm trying to be. I'm trying. We kind of understand what they're saying, but the reality is this verse is saying it's already in there. When we say things like, I'm trying, you're living out of your head. You're living out of your mind, your emotions. You haven't undocked from that old man, yet you're still living from the old man. He just simply gave you a way to go deeper into the house and live from a new place. Out of your spirit. Out of that treasure chest he put in there. That place where everything that you could ever need for complete devotion to him has already been put in there. By his divine power. I love this next verse. For all this was lavished upon you through the rich experience of knowing him. I love the fact that when you came into the kingdom of life and you had the Spirit of God gave you insight into the fact that Jesus really was who he is, the very first thing you experienced was such a magnitude of the goodness of him, it was overwhelming. He really does care about you that much. He never designed for it just to be an intellectual assenting, acknowledging that he is really Lord. He wanted you to experience him to the fullest and be so overwhelmed with his presence that you would just say, I'm just going to live right here. I'm going to live in this place with you. I'm going to live in your word. I'm going to live in fellowship with you. I do not want to disconnect. I do not want anything else to be more real to me than you. I'm not talking about, you know, always living in an emotional place. Because you'll stumble up on that one too, and then you'll figure out, well, the emotion's up there. He must be gone. And that's not true either. Because your Bible says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Where is he? He's in your spirit. If we're going to live life saying, well, I don't feel him, so he must not be there, you're still living in the head. Because he is down there. If you want to know if he's down there, crack this vessel and begin to worship and praise him. Make yourself do it and find out what happens. As soon as you pop the top, man, he's coming. Verse 4 in 1 Peter says, in verse chapter 1, as a result of this, we've given you magnificent promises that are beyond all price, so that through the power of these tremendous promises, you can experience partnership. Everybody say experience partnership. Isn't it interesting that the Spirit of God wants you to understand that while you as the new creation, man or woman, you can have the divine nature on the inside of you in your spirit, but it is your choice whether you're going to partner with experience in it. And that takes a daily decision every day. Today, Father, I choose to partner with your divine nature on the inside of me. Okay. One of the very first prayers that Paul prays, Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, he says this. He says, since we've heard about you, we've kept you always in our prayers, that you would be filled with overflowing with the revelation of God's pleasure for your life, or pleasure over your life. Isn't it interesting that that is the second prayer that Paul prayed after telling them, I heard about your devotion to the Lord. The very next thing he prays is, I need you to have a revelation of God's pleasure over your life. And then the reason he says that is because you having a revelation of God's pleasure over your life puts you in a place of living out of that treasure chest, and you become a reservoir of all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Isn't it interesting that if you will not, like John said in his letter, if you will not come to the place in your life that you know and believe the love God has for you, then all of the revelation and all of the things that the Spirit of God wants to flood into your spirit for your understanding to grab a hold of don't come. Now, this morning I was waking up. And it seems like with me that the Spirit of God gives me dreams like when I first, you know, just before I just wake up, you know. I don't know how he is with anybody else, but he kind of does that for me. And I'm going to be honest with you, this dream is kind of weird. Has God ever given you weird dreams? Then he kind of tells you, and he just told me right now just exactly what that dream was. I asked him about it when I woke up. And if the Spirit of God gives you a dream, he'll give you the interpretation of that dream. You don't need to come up with one your own. So I was in this riverbed, and there was nothing there. It was like Well, I'll just leave it at that. It was a riverbed in bed. It kind of felt like it was up in the mountains, but I don't know. There was just nothing there. There was no water. It was just there. And then, some water came. It was just kind of a trickle. And then, it kind of got more and more and more. Pretty soon, it got so wide I couldn't get back to the other side. I think it was kind of stuck on the other side. And I think I must have turned around to where my back was against the reservoir or the the stream that had come, and when I turned back around, that was gone. And it blew me away. What I was looking at was a body of water that went on as far as I could see, and it was about the color of your shirt. And it went down so deep, but I could see all the way down. And there were so many creatures like dolphins and things like that. It was just amazing. I was like, this is absolutely amazing. If I hadn't woken up, I would have stood there and looked at it. But I could see, it wasn't blurry at all. I could see every single creature that had now come to fill that body of water. This verse says that if you'll know, come to know and believe the love God has for you, that if you'll have a revelation of the fact that the pleasure He has over your life, He wants to take that little tiny stream that is in you, that is the treasure chest that's in you, and He wants to teach you how to allow it to become a massive body of water that will facilitate life for everyone else. When I saw that, and I realized it was dolphins and things like that, and I'm not saying you're going to go see a dolphin walking down the mall. I'm not saying that. But understand the principle of what I'm saying. Those creatures were not facilitated until that body of water was produced to facilitate them. There's somebody out there in society, in the culture we're living in, that is depending on that stream that is in you, being that you facilitating that stream to be created into the massive body of water that will facilitate their life. So that when you meet them, you will have allowed yourself to be trained by the Spirit of God to draw into and draw out of that treasure chest that the Spirit of God put in your spirit, and learn how to live from that place and give them something from the Spirit of God. Does this make any sense to you? I said this statement yesterday, last week. But your revelation of God is directly rooted in your revelation of you inside of Him. We've become so comfortable with learning about, quote, being in Christ as a theological doctrine, we didn't realize that He wants to show you what experiencing being in Him, living life, breathing in and out, walking down the street, driving your car, being in the mall, going to the gas station, every place that you would set foot is like. That you'll never learn from a DVD or a TV dinner. Those are all good. They're fantastic. But they're only designed to stoke your desire for what's possible. You take that and you pursue Him. We should be able to come to the place in our life, folks, as authentic community, that when somebody stands up or you're standing in front of somebody and they say some things that may not gel with what you have heard in Christianity, your reaction to them is one of celebrating them stepping out and having enough boldness to communicate or attempt to communicate what they're learning in the Spirit of God, even if it doesn't gel with where you're at. We should be able to celebrate them for having the boldness to do that. Because they're simply learning how to draw on that treasure chest that's on the inside of them. But our environment should never shift from being one of celebrating them. Amen? We should never. I used to have a hard time with this, to be honest with you. Because my early life in Christianity, man, I was in the Word. You ask her. I mean, as much as I could possibly be. I mean, there was times when, you know, I wasn't even married. Sorry, honey. I know I spent 4 times this week, but I got to go again. I'm going to go study. Bye. And that was her life early on. And it was a hard thing for me to be in the company of someone who maybe didn't see things the way I learned. But what we don't want to do is we don't want to frown up and shake our head. We want to celebrate the fact that they're just simply learning. This is what Romans chapter 13, 14, 15, what he talks about here in Colossians, this is what he talks about. If we want to know whether we're living from the authentic Spirit of God, you'll understand this, that you'll recognize that when someone is trying to grow and develop and pull those things out of their treasure chest in their spirit, you know, they may not have it all yet. They may not have it all yet. But that doesn't mean we don't celebrate them for stepping up. And if we'll create an environment like that, then everyone will be on the same page. Everyone will be in the same environment where we celebrate each other. We value each other. And we'll understand that the only place that disagreement comes from is if we're living from, not from Him, but we're living from some body of teaching that we got from someplace else. You remember what I told you in 1 Corinthians 8? That knowledge has a tendency to puff up. You know why it does? Because just straight knowledge is separate from His presence and His revelation. When His presence and His revelation bring something out and you learn something directly from Him, it creates a humility and a passion for Him. It doesn't take you over into being puffed up. It's only when we separate His presence from the fact, the issue of the knowledge that it came from, that it has a tendency to cause us to be puffed up. And, well, I know that. Yeah, I know that. Yeah, I know that. Yeah, I know that. Yeah, I know that. You don't. Because if you did, you wouldn't say that. You would celebrate what someone got. Or if it didn't gel, you would celebrate the fact that they're learning how to pull things out of their treasure chest. So they pull out a rubber chicken. So what? We encourage, build them up, lift them up, and we keep that environment that celebrates them because everyone is learning. Everyone is learning how to come into the revelation of his complete and utter joy over your life. Notice this, and I'm done with this verse. Notice this, Colossians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. This is the actual first prayer he prayed after he said, I've come to understand that you have come into the kingdom of God and you've embraced the Lord Jesus Christ. The very first thing he prays is, from the first time I heard about your conversion until now, we faithfully pray for you that you would access your destiny through all of the treasures of your inheritance that is stored up in the heavenly realm, and understand that the heavenly realm is on the inside of you. If you are that new man or that new woman, the Spirit of God lives in there. Your very future in this life, and whether you ever realize and fulfill everything that God created you to be and do, is all in there right now. And Paul is simply admonishing, look, it's a whole new game, guys. It's a whole new life. I would encourage you, if you don't have the Passion Translation that is Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, that you go get that. nothing else, go get the audio. Play it over and 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 over again, because the letter that is Colossians is going to constantly, constantly bring you back to the treasure chest, the treasure that's in you. Get familiar with what's in there. Learn how to draw out of that treasure. And it'll facilitate you shifting your focus on trying to be something that He's already equipped you to be, to just learning how to live out of that place. I'm telling you, folks, He wants to take you to a place, and if you'll let Him, He'll take you to a place where you will not set foot any place in this city where demonstration of the new model, I have one, so this is all I know, but you'll demonstrate a model of iPhone that no one has. You'll demonstrate abilities to do things as a human being, to know things as a human being, to see things as a human being, that every human being was created know, see, and hear, but you're living connected. Throw the that old technology away. Stop living from there. Stop facilitating learning old technology. Living from a place that's old news, and learn how to live from the new treasure that He put in you. It's in there for that reason. Somebody's life. Picture that big, that endless body of water that I saw in my dream that was facilitating every imaginable creature. I did, you know, and I could see every one of them clearly, but they would not have been facilitated. They would not be alive. They would not be enjoying the life they had if that stream hadn't started. That stream is in you. Amen? Did you get anything out of this? Go ahead and stand up. You do this, if you would, just lay the hands on the person next to you. Just on their shoulder, you know. You don't have to mess up their hair. And I want you to say this to them. I want you to say, "You are the blessing of the Lord. Every time I think about my wife, I thank Jesus. I say, "Father, I thank You that You gave me the blessing of the Lord. And You'd add no sorrow with it. But understand, You are the blessing of the Lord to somebody. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I just would ask you to cause our understanding to explode. That we would begin to see from your vantage point. Pleasure you have over our life. So let that river of endless revelation and wisdom that comes from you will begin to flow out from everybody in this room. And everybody at the sound of my voice. And we'll become so proficient at learning how to fellowship with you, Holy Spirit, in this place, in this discoverable treasure that you've placed on the inside of us as that new man, as that new woman, that we'll begin to learn how to facilitate in that little stream, that little trickle of water, that stream will turn into a river, and it will turn into a river that can't even be crossed, and then it will turn into an endless body of water that has no boundaries as far as the eye could see, and will facilitate life for our city. That people will literally come to and be drawn to that water. Those animals that were in that water in the dream you gave me, I didn't have to go get them. I didn't have to go find them. I didn't have to go search them out and put them in there. They just were there. Because wherever that water flows, people come to it. I would ask that you would cause that river to flow out of everybody in this room and everybody in the sound of my voice. And it would just begin to draw people to it. And they'll just jump in. We won't have to talk them into it. We won't have to convince them to put their toe in. They'll just jump in because they recognize a remnant of a life that was past that they've never experienced. And then when they get in, they'll realize this is where I've always been created to live. Father, I thank you that you're doing that even right now. Expand our vision, expand our vantage point to see what you see. And then teach us how to live there. And everybody that agreed with that prayer said, Amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.